Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome into Brewcast from Mason Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. Luke Giardi tonight joined by Trevor Woods, and we are here with you on Monday night, August 15th, actually going into Wednesday, August 17th, having to record a day early here, but we are less than 3 weeks away from Michigan football, man. Trevor, what's going on? It's really starting to feel like it's around the corner, isn't it?
Oh, totally. I mean, I was even at a Bears preseason game this weekend, and that was a blast. Just being around football, whether it's third stringers or not, getting to evaluate live action, man, it makes the goosebumps go off. And, yeah, I'm ready for some Michigan football and the non-conference slate where they run the table on these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be here before we know it, September, right around the corner, a couple of weeks away. And it's got us thinking, you know, as we are a couple weeks now into fall camp, taking a look at particularly the offensive side of the football here tonight, maybe next week, get into the defensive side of things. But things starting to shape up a little bit coming out of fall camp. We're going to exactly see how it plays out, like we said, in a couple of weeks here. And we are going to get to the quarterback situation a little bit. Trevor had a great article posted here this evening that you've probably read by now that you're listening on Wednesday about the quarterback situation. We're going to get into that, but we also want to take a look at the big picture in the sense that the guy who ultimately wins the job and takes a majority of the reps in games, because I'm sure we're going to see both quarterbacks regardless of who's out there in the first series of every single game, is what kind of weapons are these guys going to be working with? And it feels to me, Trevor, that the answer is some very good ones.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, co-offense quarter Matt Weiss said earlier this offseason that Michigan, the amount of weapons they have on offense is rich people problems. Well, he's completely correct. The receiving room is absolutely loaded this year. It had potential and it did some great things last season, but now it's so loaded. You have a guy like Mike Sainristil still was a key contributor last year on Michigan's offense. Now he's playing a majority of his reps as a cornerback and doing well over there. So it just shows the depth. You've got Ronnie Bell, who tore his ACL the first game of last season. He's back now. Bell was considered Michigan's best receiver heading into last season. Great route runner. He can gain separation down the field. Bell's back, so that's great news. But then you got guys like A.J. Henning who want to have a Deebo Samuel type role where their gadget guy can do a little bit of everything for Michigan's offense. You have three incoming freshmen who Jim Harbaugh called freak shows in Darius Clemens, Amarion Walker, and Tyler Morris. So add three other guys to the equation. And then there's Terrell Anthony, who made some memorable plays against Michigan State, although it was a loss. You have Roman Wilson, who looked to become – it was starting to become a sure-handed receiver. You have Cornelius Johnson. Then you have Eric All, who could end up being one of the best tight ends in the country. Eric All has really bulked up this past offseason after already being pretty strong last year and had a good season. But now it's to that other level now where the expectations are him not to play well. It's for him to play elite. And he looks every bit the part if you see him in person. Absolutely shredded in every which way. And mental toughness, it's there as well. And there's other guys to add to the equation, one of them being Donovan Edwards, who is a running back but can catch the heck out of the football. So, man, we're just scratching the surface with what we're talking about here when it comes to the weapons the quarterback for Michigan has at his disposal. But you got to think the passing attack is going to be better this year. Whether it's J.J. McCarthy in there or Kay McNamara.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And we'll get into this when we talk about, you know, the quarterback battle. And I do want to get your opinion a little bit later, and I'll bring it up again. But, you know, on if the amount of weapons and how good they are is going to influence who the quarterback is going to be one way or another. I think that's a really interesting topic of conversation. But you touched on all the guys that are coming back. Like Cornelius Johnson was your leading receiver last year, not only in receptions, but in yards, and tied for the lead in touchdowns. I think, you know, everyone's very excited about Ronnie Bell coming back. And I think, you know, obviously there's a reason for that. You know, there's no question. He's unbelievably talented. He just had the one catch, a 76-yard touchdown against Western Michigan in the opening week before he tore his ACL. I mean, he should have had a second catch as well. It was a horrible offensive pass interference in that Western Michigan game. He made a ridiculous circus catch. But with him coming back, Cornelius Johnson, man, going back and watching the tape from this past year, rewatching all the games, Cornelius Johnson, it seemed like whenever they really needed something big, Cornelius Johnson was always the one who was making a big play. I mean, thinking about the Ohio State game when Michigan needed an answer after Ohio State took the lead, it was Cornelius Johnson coming up with the big catch near the goal line in that game. And you know, he came up with big catch after big catch after big catch. And I really think, like, Ronnie Bell, obviously, you know, your first thought is thinking, this guy is going to be the biggest weapon in this offense, the number one receiver. And, you know, the more I think about it, I think Cornelius Johnson could absolutely be the number one guy as a receiving option here this year, which is crazy to think with Ronnie Bell coming back. But I think he could make that big of a leap, and he's that good.
Well, he is that good, and you bring up a great play by Johnson, a memorable one against Ohio State. And this is the one right before halftime, correct? You're speaking of?
Yeah, yes. The one that they ended up punching in to go up 14-10.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And that is sometimes one that gets lost in our memories now, all these months later. Obviously, five touchdowns by Hassan and all that. But that was a great throw by McNamara, even better catch and adjustment by Johnson. And time again last season, he made plays like that. And when you talk to Johnson, he is such a smart guy, just such great focus, to where I totally believe he could be Michigan's best receiver. But what I would say is this, is Michigan's so deep this year at receiver. Sherrone Moore, Michigan's offensive line coach and co-offensive coordinator, he said that the rotation on game day is going to be 8-9 deep, to where he wants to keep these guys fresh, have fresh legs. The options at receiver vary in height, stature, strength. You know, they all have different tools in the toolbox, Michigan's offense does now at receiver. So it's going to be so awesome to see how some of these guys are utilized, Johnson included. So I think we could really see the wealth be spread out this year and have some guys have similar stats. But what you're saying is 100% correct. Johnson has that potential to be the guy. And if you're the guy, I mean, you're going to be the one that's going to get drafted the highest and everything else. So Johnson's got a lot riding on this season. So does Bell as far as their NFL prospects. But so does everybody else as well. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to get to the promised land and win Big Ten championships and so on. But then some of these guys also, all these guys have NFL aspirations, but the guys who are, you know, the veterans and seniors, the clock's ticking on their time at Michigan,
right?
And they have all the more focus because of it.
Yeah, man. And you know what, another thing about Cornelius Johnson is as well, and this has nothing to do with receiving, but he blocked a couple of punts last year, man. I want to see if Jay Harbaugh is going to use him in a similar manner, because that guy can get after the punter, dude.
Yeah, he was a key contributor, and a lot of contributors on that Michigan special teams, one of the best in the nation. So, yeah, whoever can help that Michigan special teams had the same type of output, blocking punts and, you know, everything else in all facets of special teams, I think they're going to do. So, yeah, I'd love to see that some more from Johnson.
And, you know, you mentioned some of these freshmen as well, because I'm taking a look at it, and you're returning your top, as I'm looking, your top six receiving threats from last year in terms of receptions. Hassan Haskins was number seven. Daylon Baldwin was number eight. But then you're returning number nine, number 10, and number 11 as well. And ultimately, you know, number 13, who happened to be Ronnie Bell with just the one reception. But that's so much coming back. Is there a chance that we really see these extremely talented freshmen really get that much into the mix, because it's going to be really hard. You know, obviously Mike Sanders still, I don't know how much we're going to see him on the offensive side of the football, at least catching passes, though he made some ridiculously great catches last year as well. I mean, you think of the Maryland touchdown pass that he caught in the Maryland game. And just unbelievable, his pass-catching ability, and he might be playing predominantly nickel. Like, that's how deep these weapons are. Could we see, you know, Darius Clemons crack this lineup in some way, shape, or form? Like, what do you really, you know, outside of what Coach Harbaugh has mentioned, what, do you really think that these guys are going to be able to come in and crack the rotation in Big Ten play? Like, I'm sure we see them in the non-conference a little bit because they're kind of lesser opponents, but when we get into the meat of Big Ten play, are these guys that are good enough that can crack this rotation?
I would say at least a couple of them will be, and the rotation, you know, what percentage will that be distributed? I think that remains to be seen, but between those trio of freshmen, I think at least one or two of them will earn their honest share, put it that way, of snaps. Like I said, I think this truly is a situation this season of spreading the wealth around, but I think at the very least, you'll see some specific packages. What these freshmen are most comfortable with, what routes and what types of things they're doing good at. And as you know, Luke, one thing that's so important to see the field as a receiver in Michigan's offense is your ability to block.
Yes.
So I also think if they – there's obviously usually growing pains in that regard from freshmen receivers and running backs for that matter, and run blocking or pass protection. So for receivers, it's obviously blocking, run blocking. So that's one thing I'll have to see. But these are some pretty strong dudes for freshmen, right? So I think that also bodes well for them to see playing time. But what percentage? I think we'll have to revisit that one after non-conference play, because then we'll at least get some game film of these young guys and what they are as present-day college freshmen.
Yeah, and there's another thing as well that I wanted to ask your opinion on, because there are two very talented tight ends on this team. You mentioned Eric Hall, but I think Luke Schoonmaker is a very talented player as well. He had 17 receptions last year to go along with 3 TDs, which was actually more touchdowns than Eric Hall had a year ago. But with all these weapons, including Donovan Edwards, who you can line up in the slot. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. Like, but Michigan's bread and butter is probably still going to be running the football, I would imagine, given the success that they had a year ago. Sherrone Moore is a co-offensive coordinator and the offensive line coach, probably going to be wanting to pound down the throats of opponents. Like, with all these weapons, are we still going to see a whole lot of 12 personnel with Schoonmaker and Eric all out on the field at the same time? Or are we going to see more 4 wide receiver sets? Like, what do you envision this offense kind of looking like?
Yeah, that's a great question. One question I have with the running game in particular is, will Michigan be able to consistently run between the tackles? Because Corum is, you know, he's very, very strong, but he's a bit of an undersized back. To this point in his career, you know, there has to be kind of gaping hole inside for him to, you know, have sizable yardage. Not a whole lot of yards after contact yet for him. Obviously very elusive on the outside, very fast. I think Donovan Edwards can be a guy who can run in between the tackles. We still got to see that from him, but I do think he can. And then there's Khalil Mullins, who obviously playing 50-50 linebacker and then running back. But as far as 12 personnel, things like that, I think Michigan will do whatever it takes to run the ball effectively. I think we could see a bit more running out of 4 wide receiver sets. That also depends on how good these receivers block in totality. But I think we could see more of that. Moore did say recently that he liked to be at about 50-50, evenly distributed pass-run ratio. So I do think we could potentially see things inching closer to that. Obviously, at one point last year, Michigan had the highest run frequency besides service academies such as Army, Navy, and Air Force. So obviously, Michigan was running the ball a ton last season. So regardless of that, I think with the amount of weapons Michigan have at tight end and receiver, and you mentioned Schoonmaker as well. Harbaugh said he expects Schoonmaker and all to compete to be the best tight end in the country. So add another to the equation there. I think it kind of has to even out, especially though if you can score points and march down the field that way effectively, right? And I think they're going to have more confidence in McNamara with his second season as the potential starter, or with McCarthy at the helm too. So yeah, I think they'd like to be more prolific this year and a little more aggressive throwing the football.
And before we get to the quarterback battle and talk a little bit about your article, Trevor, one thing that I just want to touch on, obviously, I think there really is only one spot amongst the offensive line that was really up for grabs in camp. You've got Ryan Hayes returning, Trevor Keegan returning, Zach Sinter returning. You bring in Oluwatomie, the second-team All-American from Virginia as a grad transfer. The right tackle position, what have you heard from that position? Is it pretty much, has Trent Jones really taken a hold of that position, you think?
Yeah, from everything I've heard to this point, it seems like he has. And, of course, we'll see, you know, after the dust settles for fall camp. But, yeah, from the right tackle position, if that is the case, I think that would be a positive, that somebody actually separated themselves at this point and can be comfortable being the man or, the number one at RT. But across the board, I think Michigan obviously was the Joe Moore Award winner last year, which went to the best offensive line in college football. Now, you can debate whether they're deserving enough for that, but they were damn well one of the best offensive lines in the country.
No,
there's no disputing that. When John Madden, now he passed away, a month before John Madden passed away, he texted Jim Harbaugh saying their offensive line's performance against Ohio State was one of the most impressive performances he's ever seen from a group. So you're getting some of that group back, some of the guys who were in that rotation back or saw some playing time last year, and then you got Olu, and he was a Remington. Say the last name for me.
From what I understand, Oluwatomie, but I could be getting that wrong.
No, you say it with such ease, so more power to you. But Olu, he was a Remington Award finalist for best center in the country, and he's already brought a great element of leadership to that line. So especially with Sherrone Moore, who I think has already proven to be a highly energetic, motivated, very good communicator as offensive lines coach, I think they're going to be firing at all cylinders. And that the offensive line is actually something to be excited about as well, in my opinion.
No doubt, man. And, that performance ultimately was so much fun to watch last year. Everyone remembers it. But, I mean, that wasn't the only big game Hassan Haskin had. They were really good all year long last year, and I'm very excited to see this offensive line work. And that's another piece of the puzzle or another factor at play, I think, when we take a look at the quarterback position here. Before we do, I want to let you know, support for Brewcast is brought to you by Manscaped, best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Products are precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. The Performance 4.0 package is unreal. The Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, this thing, I mean, there's no job too tough for it. Trust me on this one. The Nick Guard is unbelievable. I don't know where this technology has been, but you need to get it. The Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer as well. You've got the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver. The Performance Boxer Briefs are worth it in its own right, man. These things are legit. Chafe, not proof, but they protect against chafing. They do a fantastic job. And then a whole travel bag to hold the goodies as well, man. I just took the travel bag, the overnight bag here on the trip this weekend, fit everything with ease. I needed a new one. You get so much with this package, and we're getting you 20% off. Get 20% off plus free shipping. You can't beat this. It's promo code MNB20. That's what you use at manscaped.com. 20% off free shipping, manscaped.com. Use promo code MNB20. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. So taking a look at this quarterback position here, Trevor, I mean, that's the thing everyone wants to talk about, right? And rightfully so, because this is it's a big decision. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. On one hand, I don't want to say it's unprecedented. We've kind of seen this Clemson had a, I don't know if it's a similar situation when Trevor Lawrence was a true freshman and Kelly Bryant was there, but Kelly Bryant, you know, played all year, won the ACC, or excuse me, played, you know, the first half of the year was great. Clemson, you know, was a great team. Trevor Lawrence takes over. I believe Kelly Bryant actually led them to the playoffs in the number one seed the year prior, but Trevor Lawrence was ultimately the better guy for the job the next year, about halfway through the season when he came in as a true freshman. We obviously saw what happened with Tua Tagovailoa in the second half of the national championship game against Jalen Hurts, ultimately took that job from a guy who had a lot of success, a national championship, you know, winning quarterback there. I mean, and you got Cade McNamara now. He's coming off taking Michigan to their first Big Ten championship since 2003. The guy, you know, took incredible care of the ball last year, rarely threw interceptions, rarely turned the ball over last year, just 6 interceptions on the season, threw for over 2,500 yards, completed 64% of his passes, and yet there seems to be a growing, you know, number of people within this fan base that think J.J. McCarthy should be the number one guy. You came out with a great article here today. What is your feeling on the situation?
Yeah, the situation is fluid. It's in flux, I'd say. And, you know, some years, or actually everywhere year, you can say Harbaugh doesn't really name a starter before week one, even when we have a darn near 100% certainty, you know, like when Shea Patterson was here, or Wilton Spate one of those years, and Jake Ruddock, and so on and so forth. But yeah, this year's different. J.J. McCarthy was a true freshman last year, definitely impressed with his time on the field. I think many would agree with that. But yeah, it's a fan base divided, and I don't think it really needs to be. McNamara had a great season in his own right. He thinks he should be the starter. Won a Big Ten championship, but it's not that simple either. You have McCarthy, who's definitely improved in his own right. McNamara says he's improved, gotten stronger and faster this offseason. Footwork's better, mechanics are better. But JJ's improved too. He's a year older, a year smarter, and he has it in his head. He's a Zen meditative type guy, and he's ready to seize the reins. So it's going to be interesting, obviously, what McCarthy has to his game. He has top-tier athleticism as a quarterback, definitely one of the faster quarterbacks, one of the biggest threats to run at quarterback in all of Power 5. So with that, you know, he has a high ceiling. I think with the non-conference schedule to start out the year, conventional wisdom would say, hey, if there isn't a wide gap in the competition, if they're going back and forth, and not one guy's really separated himself yet, I think McNamara is going to be the guy. But if it's clear and apparent and McCarthy somehow does indeed get a big lead on McNamara, I think Michigan's going to do the right thing for the program and insert him from the get-go. But look at it this way, too. Harbaugh said last year after the Orange Bowl, McCarthy was inserted in the third quarter of that game, and Harbaugh was asked, you know, why did you decide to go to McCarthy then? And Harbaugh said he makes no apologies that Michigan has two quality quarterbacks. And I think that's where they're at. And Harbaugh says, you know, one day it's McNamara in practice, the other day it's McCarthy who's doing better. And Harbaugh says they're both going to be tough to beat the other. And, but no matter what, at some point this year, McCarthy's going to see the field. McCarthy, like I said, saw the field last season, threw over 500 yards, was definitely a threat to run. He's definitely earned more playing time. So he's going to get an uptick in playing time from the get-go. And, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and prognosticate one the starter for the entire season. I think that's kind of a fool's errand at this point. But, yeah, they got two talented quarterbacks. It's going to go down to the wire, and I think both will have starts this season.
And, you know, the thing is here too, right, is they ultimately do have different play styles. I mean, that's just the case. Cade had, you know, threw the deep ball pretty well last year when the opportunity presented itself, but he didn't – it never felt like he took a ton of chances to try and push the ball deep. And that is that's a good thing. It could be construed as, you know, maybe you want to do that a little more, but that's the fact of the matter. Whereas JJ, he seemed to want, he took a little more chances. The throw to Andrell Anthony, the touchdown pass to him in the Michigan State game, obviously is the one that everyone wants to point to, and I think it's a great example of that, where he could have took the check down to the tight end underneath, but instead went for the home run. It ultimately ended with 6 points for Michigan, whereas if he takes the check down, that drive probably ends in 3 points for Michigan. You know what I'm saying? And this goes back to what I wanted to mention a little earlier, Trevor, when we were talking about all these weapons and this great offensive line, because I think there's two schools of thought here, right? The first being the weapons are unbelievable. Your running back room is tremendous. Your wide receivers are tremendous. And your offensive line is tremendous. You want the guy that's not going to screw it up, because turnovers are going to be the thing that kills you. Cade McNamara takes pretty good care of the football. JJ had some turnover trouble, fumbling and whatnot last year. Whereas the other school of thought here, Trevor, I think, is that if you want to give the reins to your future quarterback of the program, even though he's young, what better time to do that than give it to J.J. McCarthy while he's got an offensive line that's got the potential to win the Joe Moore Award again, a great running back room, and a whole lot of weapons to throw to? Then there's no better time to give the future of your program the reins than working with that offense, you know, instead of maybe some makeshift thing, that because you never know how the future is going to plan out. So what school of thought do you think you subscribe to a little bit?
Yeah, I think that obviously McCarthy, you know, like you said, different skill sets. Cade is more of a pocket passer. He has functional mobility, moves in the pocket pretty well overall. But JJ, man, can he scoot to the outside? And, you know, he can do all these different bootlegs, rollouts. And it's a great offensive line. Last season, they didn't give up a sack until, I believe, October. So, yeah. Or at least it was only one sack through that time span. So, definitely protected the quarterback well. So, you're basically saying, why not give the keys to McCarthy now when all the pieces around him are as talented as they are, correct?
I'm saying that is one school of thought that you could subscribe to, giving J.J. McCarthy the keys to the offense here. But the other school, like I said, is the offense is going to be, should be so good as long as Michigan doesn't shoot themselves in the foot. Whereas there's plenty of evidence to suggest that Cade would be the guy if that's your school of thought.
Yeah. So, okay, that's great. Now this has become a philosophical discussion.
Right.
So me personally, Trevor Woods, and how I view an offense, if I eliminate the names of McNamara and McCarthy, I want my ideal quarterback to have the ability to run the football at a high level. I want my quarterback to just have an innate instinct to always want to go for that touchdown killer, you know, score a jugular right in your throat right now, which is kill, 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 not check down to be safe. I think McCarthy does exhibit a little more of, hey, I'm going to scramble a bit, Russell Wilson-esque, to buy time to deliver that schoolyard type throw. Now, the question is, can McCarthy be safe with those opportunities? You can be safe and you can also be aggressive. Mm-hmm. But if he's just throwing into triple coverage with his aggressiveness, that would be a problem. So the good thing about this is McCarthy didn't throw many interceptions in high school, yet he still had that aggressiveness and took chances down the field. So if those variables work out, ideally, I like what McCarthy has to offer. However, there is something to be said about Cade and his ability to limit mistakes, get Michigan field goals, lead Michigan to scoring drives, even if they didn't end in touchdowns. So with McCarthy, yes, as long as he can continue to consistently move the chains with his skill set, you know, I think he'll end up being the starter down the stretch. But it's all about consistency, because we've already seen what he can do, you know, going deep down the field, and what he can do with his legs. But can you do that for four quarters without shooting yourself in the foot? So, yeah, to me, it's a balance of those two thoughts, Luke, if I really had to think about it. But yeah, it's just hard not to ignore the wow plays that McCarthy
right.
already made last season. I mean, that's the thing with me. It's hard to ignore that.
I also think for me, and I think the last two games of the Big Ten season, the Ohio State game and the Big Ten championship game against Iowa, I think it's altered kind of our perception of last season in a way, because if you go back and you watch and you take a look maybe at some drive charts, do you remember how badly Michigan struggled in the red zone last year to score touchdowns? It was before the Ohio State game where they punched in five rushing touchdowns, before they put up 42 against Iowa. Michigan could not get into the end zone when they got to the red zone.
Yeah.
They settled for 3 points so often last year. And ultimately, I think that's where the edge goes to JJ because of his ability to use his legs, his ability to, you know, take some chances and be able to put the ball in certain places with velocity that maybe Cade can't quite get to. I think that is where there's an edge for JJ McCarthy. But again, with that comes the question of JJ's, you know, fumbling. He fumbled the snap against Maryland. He ultimately turned it into a touchdown, but it could have went the other way. Obviously, the fumble against Michigan State late in that game, those questions are going to start to arise as well when he starts using his legs a little more. He's got to be able to take care of the football. So there are pros and cons to everything, but that's just something to keep in mind. Remember how bad Michigan was in the red zone for a long stretch of last season. I think that's an important thing to remember.
Yeah, and I do want to add, to echo your point about the red zone, or you're 100% correct, and here's a devil's advocate to the Cade truthers out there. Like, we as members of the media shouldn't have any bias, and I don't think fans should either. I think we should look at all the data objectively as much as we can. And here's the devil's advocate to somebody who's 100% gung-ho Cade. Last year in the second half against Rutgers, he threw for 7 yards, and Michigan's offense sputtered and ended up being a nail biter of a game against Rutgers. Michigan won, but man, it could have went either way. You look at Nebraska, which is a highly entertaining game on the road. What a great environment there for a team who didn't end up having a winning record whatsoever. But that went down to the wire. Michigan settled for field goals a lot in that game. If Jake Moody doesn't go 4-for-4 on field goals, Michigan loses that football game. So there's a couple games from Cade there that you could say, well, man, you know, the luck definitely bounced Michigan's way just a little bit. And my thought is, well, what if this year in those same scenarios, in those same close games, the luck isn't on Michigan's side? Then you're looking at a team who, you know, could have been undefeated but has 2 or 3 losses. So that is the worry. That's the worry I'm sure that the offensive coaching staff has too. I mean, you got to have a little bit more aggression. You got to have a bit more success, whatever you want to call it. You got to hit at a higher rate. So, yeah, and if that remains the same at some point, yeah, you got to go with the guy who's going to have more of the wild plays consistently.
And then, of course, there's always the final devil's advocate that say maybe they unlock something in the last 3 games of the regular season, or the last 2 games of the regular season of the Big Ten Championship, where they put up 59, 42, and 42, to which I will say I will tip my cap to that as well. So it's going to be fun to see how it shakes out this year, man. Obviously, we're going to find out in less than 3 weeks exactly what it's going to look like, and I'm so excited that it's almost here. Trevor Woods, really appreciate you joining the show here this week, man. Where can we find you on social media?
Find me on Twitter at Woods Football.
At Woods Football. He does it all, man. He does all the reporting. Did a great job for us. Big Ten Media Days, obviously. Trevor, you were cranking out articles like nobody's business, man. Big thanks to you from me for that. Helped me a lot with the show, obviously. So definitely appreciate all the work you do. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Follow the Maize and Brew Twitter page as well, at Maize and Brew. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube. Hopefully going to be starting up the live shows coming up the week of the first game. Can't wait to do that. Love interacting with you guys on there as well. So subscribe to the YouTube page so you know when we're going to be going live. Trevor, once again, man, really appreciate you filling in for Scotty here this week, friend.
A pleasure, man. Always good to talk.
Always good. That's Trevor Woods. I'm Luke Yardy, and that's going to do it for us this week on Brewcast.